Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Bridges Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different paper, trade paperback every single week. Didn't do my vocal warm-ups.
Yeah, those are crucial.
I'm Daniel, and you're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do. You turn into, like, what's that pig from, like, Looney Tunes? Not Peppa Pig.
Porky?
Porky Pig, yeah.
And that's all, folks.
The Trade Waiter Podcast.
We're recording on Tuesday today. It doesn't matter to the people, yeah. But this is going to fuck up my whole week.
It's thrown off the whole flow.
It's thrown up everything.
Yeah, because I was selfish.
Yeah.
I wanted it off for my birthday.
Yeah.
You got me this shirt for my birthday.
Pretty good shirt.
YouTube listeners can see a bunch of Image logos that I haven't quite figured out yet.
We just got to read all the books from like the early 2000s, it seems.
Yeah, and then we'll slowly start to piece it together.
Yeah.
This is like a map.
And potentially never get all of them.
Yeah, probably not. Because, you know what? A couple of these, I'd probably read the book and be like...
Still miss it
completely. Yeah. Like this I Hate Fairyland one is like a little obscure. It's not like...
Yeah, it's not even obvious.
It's not like the character turned into like a skull at any point that I know of. I haven't read the whole thing though.
Right.
So. But yeah, cool shirt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Glad you liked it.
Yeah. So if he actually got me like this really sick set of playing cards...
Okay.
That are from this brand called Theory 11. And I guess they make like super high quality cards for like people that do like magic and shit.
Mm.
But they're like Avengers themed. And on the like face cards, there's like different Marvel characters, which I think is really cool. So there's like a like for King, like Black Panther is on one of them.
Ah, nice.
And like there's like Spider-Man on one of them and like a bunch of people. So I thought it was really slick.
Hmm. For sure.
Very that
sounds cool.
And the Joker card was Loki. Pretty good.
Perfect.
Pretty good.
Perfect. Who is Queen? Is it Medusa?
There was Captain Marvel. There was...
Bah.
I think Shuri was one of them.
Mm.
There was Black Widow. And I can't remember the fourth.
Okay.
But pretty good choices, I would say. Cool, Gamora, cool. Maybe? Can't remember.
Mm. But we got time codes. We got, you know, our pull list. Back Matter Matters. The book.
All the sections.
And we start with the news.
We're up top, Dana. We're going to bring you the biggest news of the last couple days, which is it was pretty dry. I didn't get a whole lot. I don't know if you did.
Really? But I feel like there's a lot of news.
Oh, okay. I got like one thing.
Okay.
Legitimately. Other than like trailers and stuff, the only piece of news I have is that we might have even already known this, but Night of the Ghoul, the Comixology original series from Scott Snyder and Francesco Francavilla, got picked up by 20th Century as a movie.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, that is nice.
So that will happen at some point.
I hope they do well with that.
I hope so too.
It works, you know?
That's like, that's like Fox, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they still make movies like independently? I guess now from it's, Disney
it,
or
yeah, I guess they still put the label Fox on it, but Disney just still owns them, you know?
Okay. Gotcha.
Cause, but what they're doing is buying like the brand basically.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, just letting them operate, I guess.
Right. Nathan, Funko does this great thing where you can pre-order pops and stuff way before movies come out.
And then it takes you 6 months to get it.
Yep. And it might be canceled, might be lost. I don't know. And they came out with pops for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Mm.
And there was
a bit of spoilers, perhaps?
There's a bit of spoilers.
Ooh, lay it on me.
There was a MODOK pop.
Okay. I think we kind of knew that.
Is available to pre-order. Yeah.
Does he look good?
I'll show you right now.
Okay. I'll take it.
You'll take it?
I'll take it.
Hopefully.
I want like big fleshy face.
Sure.
But at least he's got a big mouth, it looks like.
Yeah, at least like the shape is right.
The, you know, it, like it or not, Daniel, that is the ideal proportions of a man. And it seems like that they've nailed that part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's playing him, but they've got to go through a rigorous physical exercise program to be able to even come close to the masculine nature of MODOK.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully that'll translate on film.
I think they're really trying to not make it as obscure as it is, because when I try and think of like the most outrageous thing in Marvel, maybe even in comics, it's MODOK, you know, the most outrageous like design, you know. And so
okay.
I know not everyone watched the Hulu show, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like the best thing you could do is probably just stick with...
He was a villain on the Avengers game that no one played. So so he seems to be on a lot of properties that no one consumes.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it always seems like with movies just in general, they always try and make it cool, you know, make it, I don't know, more realistic and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
like Namor's ankle wings.
Yeah, like Taskmaster.
Yeah, that is a good equivalent.
It doesn't have an actual skull face.
No.
You know, it's just a skull mask.
Mistake.
Yeah. So I could probably think about a million different examples, but I guess that's what we're getting.
Mm-hmm. What else you got?
Hey, then we got a trailer for Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Yes.
Coming June 23rd.
Okay.
And they got
a big gorilla.
The casting director knows exactly what they're doing. They want people in seats. So it's going to include Pete Davidson.
Is he a Transformer? Is he the gorilla?
Oh, man. No, it's Ron Perlman.
Wait, what?
Ron Perlman is the gorilla.
Oh, that's perfect.
He's like Optimus Primal or something.
That's sick.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So what is Pete Davidson? Is he just Pete Davidson?
I feel like he might just be Pete Davidson, but okay. Yeah, he might actually be a decent voice actor.
I guess. Has he voice acted?
He was Marmaduke in the movie that came out this year.
Yeah, that did come out this year. That's crazy.
Autobot Mirage?
That's a Transformer.
Yeah, I figured.
Pete Davidson is Mirage?
Yeah.
Isn't that like the Porsche?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so fucking good at Transformers. Ask me anything about Transformers, Daniel. I know all of it.
Yeah, he's going to be that guy.
Whoa. Pete's way too goofy for this guy.
Yeah, I know. You got to have a sexy man.
I know.
Speaking in that.
And you're going to see that guy, and then you're just going to hear Pete Davidson's voice. And he, yeah.
You need like, I don't know, who's got a sexy voice? Maybe like, who's the bald guy that's in a lot of stuff? The British dude? Jason Statham, maybe?
Oh, Jason Statham. Okay.
Or
I was thinking the guy from like Kingsman. I thought that's who you're referring Eggsy? To. No, not Eggsy.
Oh, you mean like
the bald guy that was like he wasn't a bad guy. He was part of the Kingsman.
Yeah, he's got
what is his name?
Wait, in the new one or the old one?
The first one.
Ooh, I don't know.
He's saying country home.
Oh, does he?
Or country road.
That would work too, because he kind of whoever has like an AI kind of sounding voice, like Paul Bettany, that could work too.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
He would just sound like Vision though. I'd be like, that's just Vision.
That's true. I don't know. Can't do Vision.
Yeah.
But anyway.
What else you got? There's more trailers.
Lots of trailers. We got a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 trailer.
Everybody looks real sad at some points.
Yep. But anyway, we got the blue suits from the book that we read, which is really exciting. Did you see that?
Yes.
That mm-hmm. was sick.
That'll be cool.
I wonder if he'll have his OG helmet.
There's going to be some young Rocket. The OG helmet would be cool.
Yeah.
Some young Rocket stuff. There's like the Otter character. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
There's like another space character that's like an Otter, and I think Rocket is a romantic interest for.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Cosmo, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. What happened to the Milano?
It blew up.
It did?
I think.
I don't remember.
Did it? Was it in...
Are you crying?
No.
Did you yawn?
No.
Why's your eye all like water?
Eye boogers or whatever that come with my contacts.
It's dusty in sometimes. Here.
Yeah.
You're just sad about the Milano blowing up?
I'm so sad about the Milano. Was it in Thor Love and Thunder? I think it was, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So then it must have been like an upgrade or something.
We'll see. We get first look at Adam Warlock, that one guy with eyebrows.
Yeah, he's got some eyebrows.
I want to see fine, more. I guess. Yeah.
Looks good. I think I'll enjoy him.
I want to see him with the shirt off.
Yeah, that's what I'm mainly interested about.
I just start liking characters more when I see their shirt off, you know?
Yeah.
I want to show that he worked for this role, you know? Yeah,
exactly. I want to know that he's put in the work for me.
Yeah, so that'll be coming May 5th. Do you have anything else you want to say about that?
No.
Okay. They went to some animal planet where people are animals. There's anthropomorphic animals. It just kind of reminded me of, like, Saga.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Maybe they see...
What is the poster? Like, what are they standing on? It seems like a celestial or something, right?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Nowhere? I have to look at it.
Is it the celestial that Nowhere before Nowhere was Nowhere? Does that make sense?
Is that not the ship?
Is it the ship? It looked like they were on like the shoulder of something, but it's probably the ship.
It looks like it's just the ship.
Oh, yeah, it is. You're right.
And there's Cosmo there, so that's a good sign.
Sweet. Some more Kraglin, it looks like.
Yeah, and it looks like they're still sticking with like that Groot design that was in
the holiday
special. Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And what else do we got? Oh, we got a trailer for Gen V, which is a boys spinoff show.
I did not see that, actually.
Really? It's not really anything. It's just like a song. Like, you can watch it muted because that's how I watched it.
Oh,
okay. And then I rewatched it and I'm like, oh, it's just a song. I didn't need to hear anything.
Didn't miss anything.
And then you don't really see any familiar faces except for maybe some people in the Seven. And then there's just a bunch of kids and
they're in college.
They're all doing some stuff. Yeah.
Does it seem crass?
I think there was something in it that seemed crass, but anyway, I'm excited for it.
Are we going to see like that teen team that was on there? The Teenage Kicks?
Probably not.
I feel like that would be.
I guess that would be the place to
integrate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I wonder, maybe there'll be like some good teenage heroes or something, you know, like give us an antagonist to root for.
Yeah, true.
Because this is like undiscovered territory, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as I know, there isn't any kind of direct thing that they're adapting. So it's just kind of off the dome.
Cool.
Hopefully Garth Ennis has a big hand.
That'd be cool.
Which it seems like he has. So Nathan, let me know if you knew about this. Did you know that Funko has NFTs?
No, I did not.
Okay.
That's really funny, though.
They're called digital pops.
Do they call them NFTs?
Not directly, but that's what they are.
Okay.
So you can buy like these $10 packs and then you maybe get a rare one and shit like that. And I just saw that they most recently had digital pops for Elf. And they had like the fucking, what's the blue whale with the horn?
A narwhal?
Narwhal. I didn't want to say Nardwar. I'm like, that's wrong. The narwhal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I thought it was an actual pop. But it's like, no, it's a digital pop. I'm like, what the fuck is the purpose of that? And I guess you have an app and it has all your digital pops on it or something.
So it's just easier NFTs. Like, it doesn't sound like it's on the blockchain, I guess, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. But I guess if you get lucky, you get a rare one, you can probably resell it.
Oh.
Just like a normal pop, you know?
Interesting.
So I was upset about that. Wanted to tell you too.
I want the narwhal one. I don't want that.
A little bit.
I don't want that to be exclusively digital.
I wonder if they're like based off of the real ones, because I'm sure there's Buddy the Elf, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I think I've seen one.
But the narwhal one would be pretty cool.
That would be sick.
Anyway.
I did see that DC was doing more of those like first appearance NFTs, and I think they did like Wonder Woman, but I was like, I don't care about this.
So. Right.
But that was a while ago.
I'm currently in a dilemma because Star Wars Jedi Survivor comes out March 15th.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that was just announced. It's exclusive to like the newer platform games. So I think I have to buy an Xbox.
Yeah, probably.
You know, I thought I could hold out forever, but doesn't look like
it. You can get the Series S for like less than $250.
Yeah, you can get a used one about $230. New is like $300.
Yeah, so. I think on Black Friday they're like $200, so you kind of missed out.
God, fuck. I didn't know about it. Like, because I was like, I don't have to play. I was like, I guess a tiny bit bummed about not playing Gotham Knights right away.
Mm-hmm.
And Warzone looks kind of cool.
Warzone's a lot of fun.
Or Modern Warfare.
Yep.
And then I'm like, oh, fucking Suicide Squad is going to come around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Is that next year?
I think it got pushed back to
24,
yeah.
Oh, those bastards. Yeah. Anyway.
How dare they take their time making a game worth playing?
Yeah. And then I'm like, or do I want to just get a PS5? Do they have cheap PS5s or just all, it's just the one?
Just the one.
Okay, no, fuck that. I'll buy PS4 for Spider-Man.
Yeah, it wouldn't be worth it. In my opinion. Although God of War does look fun.
Yeah.
I'll admit that.
I've just heard about it. A dude I work with, like, played it in like a day or something.
Oh my god, that's pretty quick. That's like a, I guess he could if you really wanted to.
Maybe it's like a week, but and Nathan, not really news, but something. I guess it could be news. In Comixology, you can now add a filter to your library, and you can just hold on to one of your books, and it can go into like a hidden folder. So if you have any
NSFW.
Not safe for works. Not safe for work books.
Oh, man.
Or don't want your someone looking over at your phone and be like, what the fuck is that?
That's your dirty folder.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mine would personally.
Finally.
Yeah, I know.
For all of my.
I don't have to delete it forever, you know?
Yeah, I don't have to return it if it's on Comixology.
What's that one
book?
Well,
can you organize, make a bunch of folders?
It seems like it's just the hidden one.
Okay, just a hidden folder.
So if you
locked
want it,
away,
if you wanted some horny anime book, no. you don't have to worry about it. You can buy it now.
Okay,
and then just hide it.
Oh, thank God.
What's that one book with the pig lady?
With the pig lady?
Yeah.
Sweet Paprika?
No, but that same person.
Oh,
Sweet Paprika is like a devil.
Yeah, it's the same
Mirka and Dolfo. Unnatural. A very horny book, but very good.
Were you reading that in public?
No.
You horny motherfucker.
But it's on there. You know, I could hide Unnatural.
Okay.
Or.
I don't know, like.
That or many. That fucking Werewolf by Night book that I had to buy in order to read, you know? If I just don't want to look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, get that shit out of here.
Yeah, put that in hidden shit.
So.
I wish I could make like a shit folder and just be like, these are all the comics that I just. Did not enjoy.
Yeah.
We'll never think about again.
Like, you can't sell them. And it feels wrong just to delete it permanently, which you can do.
Which is so weird, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I get...
Yeah, like, it's not a big
deal. Like,
what
are they going to do? Like, refund you, you know?
It's yeah.
Because then if they did refund you, I'd just delete shit I'm done reading, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Very strange.
Very strange. Anyway, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that is funny. Time to... Put all the horny comics. I'm going to filter by NSFW or whatever the tags are.
I'm going to name it to not safe for work.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's about time I can start buying Lady Death comics and
not feel bad.
Vampirella.
There's like one.
Red Sonja.
There's a comic that came out recently that I just saw was a number one and I flipped through it. And it was like very clearly a comic book about a dominatrix or something.
Mm.
I'm trying to remember what it was called. Yeah, so I bought it. I bought 4 issues.
Every cover.
Dude, I can't remember what it was called. It was like Chained Up or something. I don't know. But yeah. It was like somebody's like pick of the week for like at the comic shop. And I was like, oh, let me flip through this.
Comic readers that
it was like
work
a girl.
At a comic
it was
shop?
A girl.
Yeah, crazy. Mm.
Yeah,
they thirsty, horny. Unhinged.
They're horny over there.
Anyway, Nathan, it's our first Christmas week.
First Christmas book of two. We're catching up from last year because we read... Kingsman.
Yeah, when that's not was Christmas. Not very jolly.
No,
it turns out.
Yeah, so we're going double jolly this year, and so we read The Punisher, Very Special Holidays.
Yes, sir.
And
this
these
cover
are,
is by Mike Diodato Jr.
Yeah,
turns out
it like looks not like him.
Or yeah,
like, it was definitely like color.
The Punisher's
not
like the biggest person I've ever seen.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like I think it was like the colorist did like a painting thing over it, so it doesn't look like. His normal stuff, but
it is really fun. It's the Punisher in a Santa suit.
Yeah, there are like 3 one-shots that were like collected together.
Yeah,
2 of them by Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray writing, and then different pencilers. And the last one was by Andy Diggle and Kyle Hotz. You know, I realized something while I was reading this.
They're not all Christmas books.
No,
but you
and
love
there's continuity
books.
Issues in here as well.
True,
but what I realized is that. I really enjoy reading Punisher, but I've only ever read Punisher when there's like this weird gimmick going on with him.
Yeah.
Like I've never read just like normal Punisher. Like this is the closest thing. And this is still like a gimmick book. Cause it's like him dressed up as Santa Claus,
Hot
you know,
special, yeah.
But like all the Punisher I've read is like Punisher when he had the War Machine armor. And
yeah.
It was a pretty fun book, but not like typical Punisher.
Punisher when he's a part of the Foot Clan.
But yeah,
or,
that's like the one
or the,
I'm reading
or
right
the
now.
Hand.
When he's,
is it the
when
hand?
He's, the hand.
The hand. Yeah.
Yeah. The foot is TMNT, which
right,
would
right,
also
right.
be cool. But yeah, the Punisher when he's a ninja, or it's like the Punisher when he's with Doctor Strange and they're in a different realm.
Or the
realm.
Punisher when he's Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yeah, yeah, that too. That's another great example. I didn't even think of that.
Or when he's the Ghost Rider and the Herald of Galactus and
he's sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah.
It was those three things, I think. And then I also read one during War of the Realms when he was leading a team of gods. And so, like, that's all the Punisher I've ever read. Just things that are pretty much not Punisher at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really fun time reading something that's pretty close to a normal Punisher book.
We should read...
We should read...
Archie Meets the Punisher?
Yeah. Just never read a normal Punisher run.
Yeah, ever. People are like,
come on.
Or would Punisher Max count?
I think that would count as a normal... It's like more...
normal.
What it should would be normally. Okay, okay. So I think that would count.
But you could probably do a month of just gimmicky Punisher shit.
That would be, I mean, I do like seeing him in like a Santa suit. And he's like,
yeah, no, and it like made sense.
It's,
you know,
so fun. Or like he's on a sleigh at some point, and I thought that was great.
Yeah,
but yeah, this is a super fun book. The art's like not like old school, but you could tell it's like a little bit older. But it works really well for Punisher, I feel like.
Sure, yeah. There's not too much going on. You
it's
know?
Like just good espionage action, kind of.
Yeah, I so like this a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah,
it wasn't as. There was like some cheesiness to it, but just to make it fun.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. And I like the spirit of it, but it was, I didn't have high expectations for it, but ended up being like a good read. You
yeah.
know?
Me neither. I didn't either. Things that I always struggle with, I think, are just like mob bosses or like gangsters,
sure.
like gangster families and stuff. I don't really care about any.
Okay.
In any comics, really. Like really? Not even like Batman gangsters or like Daredevil gangsters.
Not the Magia.
Not the Magia. I do kind of like just because of their name, but like that's kind of it's not that's the Magia isn't like one group. I don't think so. It's always just kind of hard, and so they're all like care about Italian.
Like, you don't care about like the Falcones or like Kingpin or anything like that.
Not really. Kingpin maybe, but
he's kind of got
only when he's like running for mayor or something. Daredevil's like, oh shit, I can't let him be mayor because then you fire me or something.
You know, I really like the. Like the mafia stuff, like the corruption bits that they have. I think that's always like cool.
I think it can be good, but in a lot of cases, they're just like, okay, this is mafia. These guys are clearly bad, but there's no like rhyme or reason to it. It feels like they're just like a group of people that are bad, clearly. So Punisher has to go kill them, which right. is cool. You know, I like the action bits. Some pretty good action actually
yeah.
in this book. So anyway, yeah. So this is the first one is Red Xmas. By Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray with Mark Teixeira. And it starts off with Frank Castle dressed up as Santa. And he's like doing the thing where he's ringing the bell, asking for donations.
The
charities.
Salvation Army.
Salvation Army stuff, yeah. And he guns down a bunch of business looking guys. So pretty strong start.
Yep.
And I love the line where there's like a kid that saw everything go down. And then the Punisher was like, they were naughty. As he's like walking away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that kid will never do anything bad in his life. He just saw Santa gun down like six guys.
Yeah.
So great start. I love that. And so those guys were part of like a mafia called like the Napolitano family. Napolitano, I think. And they have wives that are like still alive. And they're like, well, shit, we need to protect ourselves. So they hire an assassin named Suspiria to go after the Punisher. And then Punisher also starts to hunt down the last family member. And he just like shows up right to his club, like his strip club that he has. And he guns through like all of his men. So
the wives are kind of like taking over, you know?
Yeah, they're taking over the family business.
There is this movie that I saw that had like Liam Neeson and it had Viola Davis. It was okay. called... Widows.
Okay.
It came out like before the pandemic. It was like, I think John Bernthal was in it too. But like all these husbands were like this just like heist group, but they're all like suburban people, you know, they had normal lives.
Yeah.
But they just did a couple heists here and there. And I guess Liam Neeson had planned this really big heist. But before that, they go on like a different heist, but they all die on that heist, you know?
And so the wives pick it up.
So then the wives are like, they have one big job, one more job or whatever. Because like all the money that they got was like seized or whatever. So they had to do this other heist. And so the wives did the heist. And it's really a good fucking movie, actually.
Oh, pretty
underrated.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah.
And, like, we can do a big heist.
Daniel Kaluuya was in it too.
Kaluuya,
he was
yeah.
like the bad guy.
Oh, love that guy.
Oh, who's that? Who's the dude who plays Paperboy in Atlanta?
Oh, dude. I don't know.
I'll look it up. But he's in that too. Kaluuya is like his like henchman or whatever.
Okay, nice.
Brian Tyree Henry.
I never would have said that. I don't think I've ever heard his name in my life, actually.
Yeah, but he's in that. Super good movie. But that just reminded me of this.
Yeah, it's like a similar situation. They're like, well, we need to protect ourselves. It's really fun seeing Punisher just like show up to this place that are like clearly full of all of his men. And there's no real plan. He just kind of runs in and guns everybody down. In like creative ways.
Yeah, it works out really well for him.
There's a scene where he like knocks out a dude, puts his Punisher shirt on him, and then throws him through the door where like all of this guy's like men are, and he like guns down. They like gun down that person.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, shit, I guess we got him. And then Punisher comes out and kills the rest.
That's a good scene.
That's pretty fun.
Then he gets his shirt back on really fast.
Yeah, he does put it back on, doesn't he?
Yeah, as he's running out of there.
So then it like jumps to New Year's. And I'm like, I thought this was a Christmas book, but it's only like that one scene, I guess.
You know, it's like starts a Happy Christmas, New Year, you know, yeah. It's like the week of Christmas. That's close enough.
Yeah, that's Christmas.
Because nothing's ever on Christmas. People are opening presents.
Yeah, true. So on New Year's, Suspiria draws out the Punisher by like sniping people in Times Square during like the New Year's party. And she like gets on the news, and apparently the news knows that she's trying to get the Punisher, like the Punisher's attention. And so that person that was sniping people is actually a decoy so that Suspiria can find out where the Punisher is when he shoots at that person.
Right.
And then ambushes him at his apartment, and it starts like a big fight. And there's like a big chase.
Something that was really unrealistic about this book was like, it's New Year's Eve and Punisher's just at home.
Yeah.
And he's watching TV and he's super fucking shredded. And also down in a pizza by himself.
Hey,
I'm like, there's no shot.
He's putting in the work.
There's no shot. He's just always that shredded, taking out this XL pizza.
They know it's New Year's. It's a cheat day. Everybody knows New Year's is a cheat day.
Oh, man.
At least he's not like slamming a beer, too, you know?
He's slamming a milk.
I love.
Out of a carton. Is he
really?
Yeah.
With pizza?
Yeah, isn't that?
Oh, he chugs the milk and then he grabs a pizza. Dude, what a Chad.
You would have done that like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I would have. Look at his Halo looking ass sniper. Did you notice that?
It wasn't like, it was a pretty underwhelming looking sniper.
Yeah, the scope looks really small, I noticed.
And I just like the body of it is pretty small too.
Frank looks great.
Frank looks cool.
I saw him and I'm like, damn, this guy's cool. And then I saw the sniper and I'm like, this is so cartoony.
This one, what I think would have fit better for this book if he was, or I guess what they do kind of well is doing like both Punishers where like he's got like the jumpsuit thing with the white gloves and white boots. And then sometimes he's got like the trench coat on, you know,
sometimes just the shirt.
So you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah. I do like when he has the whole getup on, like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the gloves are doing for him really, but I do love that look. So
his hands don't get sweaty.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Doesn't slip.
I love the action pacing as well. Like when Suspiria gets into like his apartment and you just see like her walking in and then she drops her gun to like catch a knife that was thrown at her face. And then the next panel is like her getting tackled.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so fun because it just feels like these are both like very highly trained killers.
Yeah, definitely.
So it was cool to see them like get all roughed up. And there's a scene where he like throws her into the bathroom and tries to lock her in there and drop like an active grenade. And then she like shoots a hole out of the door and throws a grenade back. And I love that scene too.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that was smart. So eventually Frank gets her. He gets information from Suspiria about the wives that like hired her.
Shoots her in the knee.
Does shoot her in the knee. And then he drops Suspiria off a roof. He kills a few of the wives and then tells the rest of them to donate all their money and leave the country.
What was cool is like he dropped her off the roof onto the car of the person that hired her.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's great.
That, yeah, he had to time that. He had to wait.
Yeah. It's like, just it's hold like on.
5 o'clock, probably.
I think that's her. Go.
Yeah. What if he missed?
Yeah.
It just like hits the street right next to her and be like, damn, that was weird. And she drives off.
That would have been just as shocking.
I think this artist is a really good action artist, but this like kick that he does to one of the wives to like kick her out the window feels so static. And then like his leg just kind of just pops up. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't feel like he's doing like a really big kick.
I don't know why it's so sideways.
It just like shoots up, you know, and his body does the rest of his body is just standing.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny.
It's like he drew both legs, erased one. He's like, oh, I gotta have this one up.
Yeah. It was probably like a note or something from editorial, but so yeah, that was the first issue. Pretty good.
Oh, and they donated to his like little Salvation Army like bucket thing.
Yeah.
While he was still dressed up as Santa.
Was that him? Is that Frank Castle? Okay.
Of course.
That's pretty funny then.
He says Happy New Year, witch, like at the end.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know if that's like Marvel's way of like getting around him just saying bitch.
Yeah.
But
that sounds like something they would do.
Yeah. So they're fighting in the apartment, right?
Yep.
So about page 23, she like kicks Punisher like into the room, right?
Yep.
The door opens and the door handle is like on the left. It's going to be on the right when it closes, right? And then Punisher slams the door in the face and the door handle is on the left now.
No, that's right.
No, because like, look here. So if this were to close,
yep,
on her point of view, it's on the right side. Right. But then it's actually closed and it's on the left.
Yeah, you're right. That's so funny.
Not an important detail, but I, for some reason, always look for that, you know? I'm like, did they fuck up? Did they get this?
No, yeah, you're right. They totally did.
It's not even a big deal. Probably the only person that noticed.
So in that, like, third to last panel, does the door hit her when she's not expecting it to?
I assume so.
Because it seems like she has full line of sight of Frank Castle at, like, all times.
If you're... Yeah, I know. How did he get up fast enough?
How would the door take her by surprise and slam her in the face?
I don't know. Because he was on the bed last time we saw it. Maybe he had enough reach with his leg to kick the door shut.
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
And then when he goes to the Ma Wives or whatever,
mm-hmm.
he's like in their room or whatever. He like fucking mows her down with some AR shots. She's still standing and also says some cheesy ass thing before she gets kicked out the window.
Oh, that's the same person, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems like she falls down and then the next panel she just stood straight back up.
Which is also pretty unlikely. What'd she say? Better one day as a lion than 100 as a sheep.
Pretty good line.
And he's like, whatever.
He does say
that. I'm like, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, come on.
What if he was like, that was so fucking corny. I'm going to kick out this window now.
I'd be like, shut the fuck up.
That's hilarious. I like when he's actually interrogating Suspiria and like it doesn't make any sense at all, but it's cool visually. There's just like the Punisher logo like on the floor behind them.
He's got a Punisher rug.
Do you think so?
No.
He buys it from one of those people on TikTok.
Maybe he's got like a really high ceiling and like has like a lamp or the overhead light.
Yeah.
And he just cut out like a little skull.
No, I think he just commissioned one of those people on TikToks that makes the really cool rugs.
I love watching those. Dude, I follow everyone I see.
I'm like, and then everyone I see, I'm like, I could do this. But it's so fucking annoying.
You have to get one of those things to pin it up and then you got to draw the thing.
Then you got to get a projector.
They have projectors so they can draw it all nice.
No, thank you.
I don't need a projector. And you got to get one of those guns that sews into it.
Yeah.
It seems like way more work than it's worth.
But then I don't want to pay $200 for one either. So it's like,
I might for a real cool one, you know,
a real cool one would be kind of cool.
I saw one. It was just like, I think it was like a cover of like a Spider-Man issue or something. It was super dope.
It would have to be like pretty minimalist for it to be translated to a rug. I feel like,
I think it was like a big one, like maybe this size.
Oh, okay.
But I think it was like Amazing Fantasy or something.
Oh, that's neat.
Pretty sick. Pretty sick. Anyway,
so issue 2 is Bloody Valentine. It's by the same writers, but with Paul Gulacy. And this one, Frank is tailing like a thief who's got some really high tech weaponry that he shouldn't really have. So he's investigating that and he sees Suspiria there and she's there for a completely different like reason, for like a bounty pretty much. And she was hired to rescue a kidnapped child of a senator, and she kind of like takes Frank along for the ride because they have like a mutual enemy. So there's a guy that's providing high tech weaponry to people in his city. And then Suspiria is there to find a kidnapped child. So this book gets like really horny randomly.
Yeah.
They're like both on a plane going to like the next spot. And then she's like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed while we fly. And then she like strips down
in my super sexy lingerie.
Also, this issue is called Bloody Valentine, and she mentions that it took her 9 months to recover from being dropped off the building and hitting the car, because it's like the same person.
Yeah.
Why is it? There's no mention of Valentine. I assume the book maybe came out around Valentine's Day, and they're just continuing on the story.
Sure.
But it made me think that like this book is set, you know, around Valentine's Day.
Right.
I just would have preferred if it was like,
no, it's like September.
Yeah, it might. Yeah,
very unsexy time.
Yeah, in this, yeah, continuity, it's September, but the book's called Bloody Valentine, so I just think it's funny. Like, yeah. If it came out in February, they could have just said like, "Oh, it took me a year and 2 months to recover," you know, and it would have been like, "Okay,
took me
cool.
14 months," you know,
took me 14 months and 14 days or whatever.
Now, luckily, we have another holiday special. But yeah. Like, no
and she's
one
walking around fine. Like,
no one
scars.
Remember that, you know?
Yeah,
like you remember this book 14 issues ago.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would. They could have just had Suspiria be there and no one's gonna be like, wait, she was dropped off a building in the Christmas holiday special edition of Punisher, why is she walking around? But they
back
still
in 2011
they still threw that line in there, which I yeah. appreciate.
Yeah, so we get like some sort of flashback thing. It might be a dream sequence where Suspiria is like on the beach, you know, and her husband and her daughter are just playing in some water.
Yep.
and a speedboat comes and shoots her husband. I thought this was the Punisher at first because it was also like a big beefy man.
That could have been the Punisher.
Yeah, I'm like, is she having a dream about him? Are they at a beach?
Yeah, at first I thought they were at like, okay, they've landed and they're at the beach now. They're having a good time.
Is there a time jump? Have they had a child
Punisher,
now?
Yeah, Punisher's just playing with this random child.
Yeah.
He's an issue, actually. He's problematic.
And then the speedboat takes the daughter and drives away.
Yeah.
And then we also, if you forget the Punisher's origin, we get to see that again.
Yeah, you get to see two kids get gunned down. And they're like dead on the floor. So that's nice.
Yeah. Same with the wife.
I feel like people just remember that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like a lot of people are reading Punisher. Actually, maybe, I shouldn't assume that. I feel like I'm just familiar with his origin, but I don't know why, you know? It might be from the show.
The show.
But I feel like...
I feel like I
would have known that beforehand.
I don't think I knew it beforehand.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's just me then. So they parachute into like another country where Suspiria's like team is at. And they find out that the person behind the whole arms operation and the kidnapping is going to be at a hotel in Rome. And then they get like ambushed and the Punisher and Suspiria like barely make it out. And Daniel, not only is there a dog in this story, it is an American Bully, which is a dog that of a breed that I have.
Yeah.
And it seems like the dog dies. However, it could be construed that the dog was just maybe knocked out and it like hit the floor for a second.
There's a guy right next to him. He maybe got knocked over or something.
Maybe he like hit him over and, you know, maybe he's still alive.
It's vague.
Very vague. There's no blood.
They could have no blood. They could have left this panel out completely.
Yes, they could have. I like the design of this page because there's like three different situations that are happening vertically.
In different colors, you know?
Yeah, different colors and stuff. It's very cool. I just like that there's an American Bully in here. And I was like, I love this book.
And he may or may not have died.
I think he's alive. I'm going to go with that. Also, Cyber is a bad name for a dog, right?
Oh, is that the name of the dog?
Cyber is the dog.
Oh, I thought that was like a person.
I thought it was too. And it would make sense for one of the people because one of them is like a tech person. So it makes sense if that person was named Cyber, but no, her name's Karen.
Who's the other one?
Cyber's the dog. The tech person is Karen, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so they did kill Cyber.
Did they say that they killed Cyber?
Yeah, here's the word. They're inside. They killed Cyber.
Damn it, it's a bad book.
You know, it wasn't that great to start with. But.
You know, I just enjoyed it casually. Damn it, why did you have to pay attention to the words of the book, Daniel?
I'm sorry, I read it.
I thought we were just looking at pictures the whole time and guessing what happened.
I've been doing that this entire podcast.
I haven't read a single word this whole podcast. I've just been guessing really well.
You explain everything perfectly. I don't need to read it.
That's good storytelling. You don't even need words. Well, fuck. This is a bad book now. So they go to the hotel.
Or is just the Bloody Valentine issue a bad book?
No, the whole book.
Okay. Well, yeah,
whole series.
Well, Andy Diggle didn't write that.
You know? Yeah, that's fair. I can't loop him in to this. Okay.
But he should have stopped him.
Yeah, he should have known.
He knows the rules.
Fucking damn it. So they go to a hotel event thing. Suspiria's tech girl is there and she sets off like the fire alarm and it creates like a diversion. Suspiria finds the guy and figures out where the children are and they're on like a plane, they're about to leave, and so they both hijack the plane and they save the kids that are inside. And that's basically what happens the rest of the issue. But I love when like the diversion starts and there's like water coming from the ceiling and stuff, and we see this like first person view of Punisher like gunning down some people. I was like, that's pretty fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I like that panel.
They go to some like underground lake or something that's like under the casino. And there's like a boat guy, right?
Yeah, I love a good boat guy getaway. Yeah,
he was there and he's, you know, just waiting for some mob boss or whatever. He's like, then they're like, point a gun at him. They're like, take us where we need to go and I might let you live. And he's like, all aboard.
Yeah, I like that too. Like, all right, I guess we're going.
I thought that was funny.
I enjoy, so the guy that was like behind everything, his name's Herman the German.
Yep.
Great name.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very creative that the way that they killed him was tying him to the tires of the landing gear of the plane and then landing the plane.
Oh, man.
I was like, that's such a creative like way to kill someone.
Yeah, there's no shot. He's done for.
Yeah.
And that might be like one of the worst ways to go.
Yeah.
Being crushed. And you might even stay alive for a bit.
You probably would. You'd probably get flung right off.
Actually, no, those wheels are so big to where like you wouldn't even hang off. You'd be like completely under them, right?
Yeah, you pretty much would. But and imagine
then just,
like,
and then you just wait for it to happen.
The suspense of like the doors opening and like the like being lowered down. You're slowly
and
getting
you're
closer
gonna look,
to the
you're like, no.
Yeah, basically, like there's no way that you're avoiding this. So, very good kill. So yeah, that wraps up like that arc, and then it starts like just another one shot called Silent Night. And this one's by a completely different creative team, Andy Diggle and Kyle Hotz. Hotz, perhaps?
Probably Hotz.
Hotz,
let's call him Hotz.
I think he's, like, pretty famous for doing, like, Venom or something. Okay. So, he's, like, I've heard his name
a lot. He looks familiar.
Yeah, pretty good. So, Frank's hunting a dude named Junior Calvani, who is leading the Calvani mob, and he's been very underground lately.
I'm sorry, this is the Mike Deodato cover.
I'm pretty sure all of them are.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just see now that the signature's right there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So he's hunting this guy named Junior. He gets information from a goon that seems like a weak link, pretty much. And there's a great splash page in the middle. It's like the one that like announces like the book and like the creative team and stuff. I like seeing the smoke in the background, and it like kind of makes the Punisher logo, but you have to like really be looking at it in like
just
a certain
it's
way.
It's just a skull, stupid.
A skull, whatever. But
yeah, that is pretty hard, though.
I like seeing the Punisher logo integrated in Punisher comics in weird ways.
Yeah.
Because Declan Shalvey did a bunch of Punisher covers, mm-hmm. and he would always find a way to like put the Punisher logo in somewhere. Like sometimes it'd be like a constellation of the stars or like the light, you know, coming from like a door or something. It's always very fun and creative. Right. So when he's interrogating this like weak link, he like stabs him. And then, like, keeps the knife inside of this guy. And he's like, you better tell me where this guy is or I'm going to pull the knife out. And that's where the problem is. And then he just pushes him in the lake after.
Yeah. he doesn't come up. So
he doesn't come up. Yeah. So that sucks for him. And then he finds a bunch of cocaine and just dumps it in the river.
Yeah. It probably take a minute.
I feel like that's not the best way to get rid of cocaine. Maybe. It's like there's still life in there. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, super high fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
but it does look cool. Like I like the smokiness that Kyle Hotz like does.
Yeah, that is cool.
So he finds out Junior's going to be at an orphanage, the one that he like grew up at, to like give back or something. And so Frank dresses up as Santa with the guy that was supposed to be Santa for this event. And he gets the kids there to make snowmen outside. And then he waits for Junior and like his men to show up. And then he catches them off guard with claymores that he rigged inside of the snowmen that the kids made, yeah. Which is so fucking good.
He's like, make them all in a row about 8 feet apart.
Yeah. That would optimize the blast radius. I mean, the space for the snowmen. But yeah, such a sick plan. There's also a good moment where he like takes the kids and like a pastor or something to like a safe location so that the kids don't get hurt. And he like gives a gun to the adult who's supposed to be like a man of God. And he has to like decide whether he's going to use it to protect like these kids.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting panel.
He's like, I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah. He's like, I'm a man of God.
If someone breaks down this door, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. And then so he just has to like look at it. And what I like about it is that there's just this one panel where he's clearly looking at it. And the light from the window, since it's like a glass.
Stained glass.
Stained glass that like reflects on the gun. Just really cool visual effect, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so he takes out most of Junior's men. Junior starts to like get away in a car. So Frank has to resort to like the closest vehicle that he can find, Daniel, which is a sleigh with like live reindeer, I think. They're just like in the shed for some reason. He's like, well, fuck, this will have to work. And so he catches up with Junior. He shoots his tires out, which crashes into a frozen lake. And he just like kills Junior that way. Which is pretty sick.
Well, Junior's like trying to crawl out, right?
Yeah.
And then he throws a knife into the frozen like ice
and it like and cracks towards
and
him.
And then he falls in.
It's so good, dude.
So hard.
He could have just thrown the knife at him, I'm sure, but he's like, I'm going to do it this cool way instead. No. So I love that shit. And I like how he draws like Punisher just like in his full getup. Like he seems like so wide and like has such crazy like upper body mass.
I do like his style a lot. I think it reminds me of like,
it's got like a lot of attitude, I feel like. You know?
Who's the dude? Eduardo Risso? He kind of reminds me of that slightly.
Yeah, I can see know? That.
Just kind of like the...
Very distinct and like some of the faces got a little bit of stank on them.
You know? Yeah. Like a lot of stank faces in this.
Especially from the Punisher.
Right.
And especially from the Punisher dressed up as Santa, which is great.
Right.
And so, but yeah, that sleigh was a great addition. Love that shit.
Yep, gotta have it.
And just all the action shots from Frank are great. And then later, the Consigliera for Junior was also killed.
The what?
I looked up the pronunciation, but it's basically the guy that knows Junior. It's like his informant. They call him the
snitch?
No. The snitch was the Santa.
Okay.
The Consigliera.
Okay.
Is his informant. And so the guy that is Santa that looks like a huge crack addict, by the way. Did you see his eyes?
And he was like hired at the mall and shit.
Yeah. So he's hired for this event and he knows that this guy is an informant for Junior.
Oh, right.
So that's okay. It's a little like confusing and I had to like read it back a couple times.
And so the informant stabs the shit out of that guy.
Yeah, he does.
And because like he's like the snitch. He's the snitch.
Yeah, the Santa. And then he runs into Punisher and then he's like begging Punisher and he's like, it's Christmas Day. Like, can't you find the goodwill of like all... of all men, and then he's like, maybe next year, and then he's like dead, like in the next panel, and I'm like, that's so fucking good.
I think I was almost expecting something like cornier.
No, he just kills him, like, and I love that.
He was like, "Merry Christmas" or something, or
"Happy Holidays,"
or like if he was like, "Oh, goodness in all men," and he's like, "That's for the real men" or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Some shit like that. But, or like, that's for men, you're a rat, or some shit.
Yeah, but he's like, maybe next year.
Yeah.
Love that. And so that's pretty much it. So let's get into some back matter matters.
Back matter matters. We get a little bit.
Actually, I don't think they are all by Mike Dudas Jr.
So I think just the last one.
Just the last one. So we have the cover concepts from Mike Diodato.
Which I don't think any of them were used, but they are fun. And then you got the actual one, like the inks.
Yeah, and there's one where you see Frank smiling, and there's one where he's frowning. And he goes with the one that he's frowning.
Of course.
I like that he tried to incorporate that, because he still looks like pretty good when he's like smiling, too.
Right.
So.
And to be fair, and this was called Very Special Holidays. So multiple holidays in here.
Okay. Not all exclusively Christmas necessarily.
They never say just Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
What would you rate this book, Daniel?
Nathan, I'd rate it a Reese's Christmas tree.
Oh, love that flavor. I love Christmas tree flavor.
You know what? Not a frozen one. So just a warm room temperature one.
Okay.
They have like assorted bags. There's like the milk chocolate one and then like the white chocolate one. I like the white chocolate one more, so mm-hmm. I'd give this one the milk chocolate one.
Okay.
You know?
That's a good rating.
Do I give it the snack size or the normal size? Normal.
I would say normal, too. You know, you're like, you're seeking out this kind of thing, you know?
Right. And I knew I was going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. There was some joy here, and I love
to mess up.
Yeah.
It's Punisher in holidays. You know, that's a formula, like chocolate and peanut butter.
You know, I think because Punisher has so much opportunity and so many... not too many things like tying him down as a character.
Yeah.
When you give him like a theme, that's when the creative juices really get flowing, you know?
Yeah. Like I feel like him as a character is so simple.
Right.
But something about that is still fresh to me. And I think it's because I only read him like in like these gimmicky books, mm-hmm. but I really liked this just because he's just doing Punisher things. It just happens to be Christmas.
Right.
So I like that a lot. I would rate it, Daniel, a peppermint bark. Because I like peppermint bark a lot.
Okay.
But not the Costco peppermint bark.
The Ghirardelli?
No, I would rate it the Ghirardelli because I like that Ghirardelli chocolate less than the Costco peppermint bark.
Oh, the Costco one's just superior?
Yeah, it's like the superior one because there's actual like peppermint flakes and stuff on there or like little chunks. Yeah, and that I think elevates it. Ghirardelli just has like the smallest like little... like flakes in there.
Yeah, it's like a seasoning almost.
Yeah, it's like peppermint seasoning.
Yeah.
And so I do like it. And like if I just want peppermint bark and that's like the closest thing, I'll grab it and I will enjoy it.
Yeah, and you can get it at...
but it's not like the best thing.
You can get it at Ross for some reason.
Yeah, you can. And you
like
know
3 months after Christmas.
This isn't like a Ross book. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's pretty good.
Right.
And it's it's what I wanted to read. So good ratings. I'm glad we made that Christmas related.
Definitely. So now we get into the poll list. Colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Well, it's like a day early right now. We're recording on a Tuesday.
What are you going to get, Nathan?
I don't know. I don't even know what's coming out. I'm not even dialed into like what's coming out anymore. I just show up and I pick up what's there.
Let me tell you what you're going to get, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to get.
I know that there's a Batman.
Batman 130.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the last one of the failsafe
arc. Right. So it's like 5 issues into his run now?
Yes. That...
Did you start at 125?
Seems like it's been way longer, but yeah, 125. Or was it 126? I don't know. You're going to get Gotham Year 1, number 3.
Yep, okay.
You're going to get Do a Powerbomb 7.
Of course.
And you're going to buy Predator number 5.
No.
You're going to go in there and buy it, Nathan.
I'm just going to get number 5. It's a big one.
Maybe look for the Stan Sakai variant cover from number 3, because that shit was sick.
I might have to pick it up.
It was so
sick. Stan Sakai Predator?
I thought it was like a fake Stan Sakai like ripoff, you know, but no, it was the one, the only Stan Sakai,
the unbeatable,
lending his gift to the
to mega corporations,
to the legendary run of Predator.
That's awesome.
Have you ever, I don't even know if I've ever seen a Stan Sakai variant before, you know.
I think
of what,
like TMNT? I think
that doesn't count.
What do you mean that doesn't count?
That's basically in the Usagi like universe.
But it's not. I mean, they cross over sometimes.
Ooh, ooh.
I would pay out the ass for like a Stan Sakai Batman or some shit.
I just want like a little doodle. Like if you could draw it on a sticky note of like Usagi.
I'd frame it.
I would frame it. It'd be my prized possession.
I'd grade it and then I would frame the graded frame, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'd put it in a safe and bury it just to make sure I never lose it.
Then you can't look at it, Nathan.
I'll have a picture. But I need to make sure that thing is safe.
Oh, a picture.
Yeah.
No, I just like frame it and hang it somewhere.
I don't.
But not tell anybody what it is, you know. Dude, Stan Sakai Venom? It's very fun.
Very fun.
Ooh, there's a Deadpool one. Wolverine? God damn, there's a lot.
Are there other books you're picking up?
Not currently. Oh, there's a Last Ronin one that's really fun.
Oh, that's cool. Ooh. That's awesome.
And then here's Deadpool fighting a samurai dinosaur.
Whoa. Dude, this guy's a man.
He's so good. You can't deny it. He's so good.
Yeah.
Ooh, dude, Moon Knight?
Brilliant cartoonist. A Moon Knight?
Look at this fucking Moon Knight.
Whoa, dude, that is so good. It looks like a commission.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're like, can we use this? We saw that you posted this, but...
Yeah. That's great.
Do you have a scan of that? And could you color it? Does he have a staff sometimes?
Moon Knight?
Yeah.
He could if he wanted. He's got like batons. Maybe they like stick together like Nightwing's thing.
Okay.
Did you read any comics this week, Daniel?
No, just I'm caught up on like Chainsaw Man, things like that.
Okay. I read Human Target number 9.
Oh, yeah. Are you caught up on that?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was like the most recent one that came out.
Nice.
And
good for you being all caught up on things.
Yeah. This one's definitely a filler issue, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Is that going to be 12?
12, yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard to like have every issue like progress it, I think, in some way.
Just make it that. Yeah. Just do it.
I guess you could. Yeah.
If you can't make 12, make it 10, you know?
That's fair.
Just make the story longer.
12 is nice, though. It's like a full year Human Target, you know?
Right. But it's more like a year and a half because they had a hiatus.
They did have a hiatus. And you know what? Good. Like Rex Smallwood, make
Do
the book that he
wants
to
make. Do not give me a filler artist. Yeah. I will riot.
I will literally drop the book. And then I'll pick up Greg Smallwood when he's back on.
Your move, Tom King.
Yes. They're probably like already done with it.
Yeah.
And then I read Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, number one by Jason Aaron. And I almost said Jason Mraz for some reason. By Jason Aaron and some other guy. And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go for like a couple more, I think.
Okay.
It's hard to, I think, start like an apocalypse book, but the apocalypse here is that there's just a bunch of trash everywhere.
Mm.
And that creates a lot of issues. There's not a whole lot about like how they got there, you know, but it's very clear that there's like a lot of trash and there's like monsters and like weird like things that would come from like the trash.
It does create a lot of issues, Nathan.
Yeah, it does.
Like, there's going to be a lot of issues.
It creates big octopus things that try and fight people, you know.
The octopus issue, yes.
Yeah. That's a big thing with plastics, you know. That's why we got to switch to everything's got to be non one-time use plastic or else we're going to get big octopus.
Yeah.
But it's like pretty good, I guess. Like, I think it could, it definitely has room to be like a very cute story. And it did this weird thing at the end where it jumped, like it did a time jump to like a decade in the future. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to take from this.
I was like scene. I was really attached to that first part. What the hell?
And so I'm like, okay, well, I guess this guy doesn't die at all, so I don't have to worry about him at all. So I don't know. He always does that, but he always manages to make it pretty good, you know, Jason Aaron. So,
yeah,
like he did that with Thor,
right?
But I figured it's because
he shows you King Thor like right away.
Yeah, he does, and that's like thousands of years in the future. So you're like, okay, I guess Thor's not gonna die. But like, but it's like Marvel, you can't expect a character to die. So I figured that works. He's
gonna die like 50 times before that part.
Yeah, and I think he did die at some point in that run too. So
like, ha, gotcha.
Yeah. So those are the only the two things that I read.
Okay. Did you watch anything new?
No, I played Gotham Knights though.
Oh yeah, how is that?
It's I don't know yet actually, because I only played like through the tutorial before I had to go do something else. But there's a beginning scene where you see how Batman dies, because that's like the thing of the whole game, and it's like a 10-minute scene where he's like fighting Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
And it's really cool and really fun. It basically like Ra's al Ghul shows up in the Batcave and they're like doing a big fight. And my favorite part was at one point he was trying to get in like the Batplane or whatever it's called, and Ra's al Ghul's like fighting him with a sword, and to get away or like tackle him, he like hits the eject button while he's like inside the cave, and he like tackles him with that while he's like ejecting from like the plane. And I was like, this is really fun. And they like crash through a window, and I was like, this is so sick.
Okay.
So it was like a really good fight over the course of like a couple minutes.
Did he go down easy?
No, he didn't. So, which I feel like you have to do if you're going to kill Batman. You have to be like, all right, let's make a really cool scene. I am a little worried though, because I was doing the tutorial and like the action feels really smooth, and it seems like they've got a pretty good leveling system or whatever. I was going through like my first stealthy part, and basically there were just like a bunch of goons that were like destroying Gotham or whatever, because Batman's dead. And there was a line of dialogue that I just thought was so bad. And I'm like, this is the tutorial. Like, why have we run out of lines? And there's basically a guy that's just lighting some grass on fire, and he's like, yeah, grass, no one's going to be mowing you, or something like that. And I was like, why are we here already?
You know, why do they need to say anything?
This is the first 10 minutes of gameplay. Yeah, why did you have to say anything?
We get it. They're bad guys.
Yeah, I know. And he's like, yeah, no one's going to mow you anytime soon, or something like that.
I mean.
And I'm like, come on.
Goons are not like good people.
They're not.
They could be some druggies, you know? Like some crackheads. That's something a crackhead would say, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, some things, not everyone needs to have dialogue, you know?
But I'm playing through it with my buddy Parker, and I'm excited to see how good it is or how bad it is.
Is there a co-op campaign?
Yes.
Nice. That's cool.
So I'm going to be Nightwing. He's going to be Red Hood.
Have you gotten on the Nightwing glider thing?
No, not yet. Not the Fortnite glider.
He like holds on to it or something and just flies around.
You know what?
Don't they all have that?
They all have something that they glide on, because it's like the same mechanic as like Batman just using his cape to like glide around places, right?
Sure.
So everybody needs something of some form.
It'd be cool if they had like a zipline gun or something.
They do.
Yeah. Just use that for every situation.
I have so far. It goes really far.
Nice.
So I think it'll be good, but who knows with that dialogue? I don't know. I also played a game called Warhammer Darktide, because it was free on PC Game Pass, and my friends like the Warhammer franchise for some reason.
You're a Warhammer guy now?
I don't want to be.
Do you got the little figures that you 3D print and you're going to paint?
They actually did that for a little bit. They were really into it.
Yeah.
They bought the figures, they bought the paint. It's really expensive. It's really hard to do.
I bought a mattress recently, and the guy at Mattress Firm had like a bunch of those things.
Really
I'm
cool.
Like, is that like World of Warcraft?
Is that like Halo?
And he's like, no, it's Warhammer. He didn't say it that like, that's snooty.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, it's Warhammer. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But
I don't understand a single thing about that universe.
Yeah, I'm like, do you get to use these guys or something?
Yeah. There's actually a really good like fan-made movie on like YouTube. Like really, really good. It like got him hired at Warhammer or whatever.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool to check out. I don't even know what it's called, but the game's pretty fun. So yeah. That's all I have to say about it.
Okay. I didn't watch anything new or anything?
I don't think so.
And I watched a movie called Smile.
Oh, yeah.
It was a horror movie from this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
insanely boring.
Was it?
Yeah, it moved very, very slow. I was not creeped out at all during like the entire thing. I almost thought the smiling was like a little cringy when it by some of the people, you know?
Yeah.
Everything is in the trailer. Like all the good parts are in the trailer, except for like the last 2 minutes, you know? But you can like estimate like the plot like before even watching the movie, you know?
Right.
Which sucks. A-Train is in it, the character.
Oh, really?
The actor that's in that. That was a surprise. Cool. That's something I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I had kind of high expectations for it because I heard it was like pretty good.
Yeah.
I've There's some the TikToks thing. About people freaking out about the end. The end was not that scary. There was one part that I thought was cool, but other than that, so this is like based off of a short film. It's like 3 minutes that the director and like one of the actors in the movie like made.
Yeah.
And that's really cool, actually.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, hopefully it's like the same monster. It's not, but that's what I was hoping.
Hmm.
But
I didn't know it was a short film to begin with.
Yeah, so that was, I think it might have been called something else, maybe not Smile. Cal Penn is in this. Yeah, the dude from like Harold and Kumar. He plays Kumar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like, the main character is like a, the main character is like a psychiatrist and he's like her boss or whatever.
Okay.
So the psychiatrist is going crazy. She's like supposed to be on leave. And she thinks that she can stop the curse or whatever thing that she has by killing somebody, right? And
Makes sense.
She goes to the psych ward where she works. And it's when she's there, I'm like, all right, this is like clearly like a dream, right? And this is when I found out that Jack is like a great person to watch like a horror movie with.
Is he scared?
kind of. So like she goes in the room with like this patient, and then Cal Penn comes in and he's like, what are you doing? And then she just starts like stabbing the patient like a lot.
Yeah.
And she's just like, ah, and the dude's just like, ah. And then Cal Penn is like, ah, and starts ripping his face off. And Jack's like, Jesus Christ. And then right after, before he even stops saying Christ, it ends. She wakes up like in her car. I'm like, you thought that was happening right now? He was just so horrified by this like, murder that he'd rip his face off. It was so fucking funny.
I mean, I've been pretty close to that a couple times. Sometimes I'll see a video on TikTok where someone breaks their leg and I'm like, oh my God. And I almost start to rip my face off.
It's like, don't stop the murderer from murdering. Just rip your own face off.
Yeah. Let me perfectly fillet it off with my fingernails. Yeah,
exactly. So that was my favorite part of the movie. It had nothing to do with the movie.
Just Jack's reaction. I think Sophie's kind of the same way. Like something will happen and she'll be so invested in it. Because she's, they're both very empathetic people, I feel like. And so I think
that's. Sophie, I could imagine her being like, oh no, when something bad happens.
Yeah, you know? She does all the time. I'm like, just let it happen. I don't know.
Yeah, this one wasn't scary. Like, I think they were trying to go for more creepy. There's one jump scare that got me, mm-hmm. and there was like a couple creepy things. But like, overall, I'm like, wow, I wish I didn't watch that. You know?
Oh, okay.
And that sucks. Spent the $6 on the rental. I want my money back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not even worth that.
Brutal.
Maybe on streaming if you're super bored.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I say about that.
Very cool.
What are we gonna read next week? All right. What are we gonna read next week, Nathan?
Dana, we're doing a second Christmas book.
We sure are.
What's it called again? Did you pick it up physically?
It's called Naughty List.
Naughty Lists.
Yeah.
From Aftershock?
From Aftershock Comics by Nick Santora and Lee Ferguson.
So this came out this year, right?
Yeah, in September.
2022. The trade came out in September or the book started in September?
The trade came out in September.
Wow.
So this is 4 issues.
Seems weird to print a book about Christmas in like September.
And no, it's perfect because I see it. I'm like, ooh, that looks interesting. And then I write it down for our Christmas episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's for people that have podcasts that are reading trades every week.
So this was like, I couldn't find it on any kind of like... It was on Hoopla. It was on Comixology Unlimited. So I went to go buy it, and it was like $16.99 to buy it on Comixology. I'm like, eee. So I'm like, I'll just buy the physical copy because that's like the same price. And that's what I did. So now I just own this book forever.
Okay, great. Well, hopefully it's good. It looks good. It's got a Santa hat, and he's got a crowbar.
What I found out about this is that the writer, Nick Santora, apparently he's like a showrunner or like a writer, like a executive producer for things like Reacher, for The Sopranos, Law and Order, The Fugitive, and Prison Break.
So very long-running shows.
Yeah, so he like, this is not a long-running book, but he seems to...
to know how to make a story, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So I'm really excited for like the dialogue in this book.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, so, because I'd never heard of Nick Santora. It doesn't seem like...
he's not like a hotshot writer.
Good name.
Yeah.
Good writer name. But anyway, that's cool. This show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Go like stuff. Go follow stuff.
We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on the YouTube.
All of which are in our link tree.
Yes. So go check it out. Give it a like. Give it a subscribe.
A subscribe. And that's it. Thanks a lot. Goodbye. Yep.
Peace.